listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to CarCast. I am Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, and Bill Goldberg's on the phone calling in. And man, it's been a busy last few days. It's been a busy weekend for us. A lot of stuff going on that we're going to try to cover as much as we can. As you guys know from last week, we were listening in and Bill was heading out to Arizona, maybe stop by Marcus Angel, check on the lawman, do a little bit of bondering school stuff. So we're going to talk about that. Went to a NASCAR race this weekend. Before we get started, I just want to tell you guys about Geico, of course. Visit geico.com, get some car insurance, and a little love to our friends at Wrangler. So they have a big selection of jeans, shirts, and outerwear for men and women. Check out wrangler.com. I was at the Classic Auto Show this past weekend. It's our first time going. Bill, I know you've done the event in the past, so it was bigger, it was better. It was down at Orange County, and they had a bunch of Japanese cars, and we saw all the usual suspects: Dave Kindig and Wayne Carini, and a car that we loved was from Andy Leach. I think it was an Impala. It was fantastic, and then. Just small world. We ran into Mark Warman, chatted with him over lunch, and then you were chatting with him as well recently. So what we might try to do here is we'll give him a call a little bit later into the show. But man, let's start it off. How was your trip to Arizona?
It was awesome, man. You know, that Bondurant experience, no matter whether you're taking the road course or whether you're going down that drag strip, I mean, it's a hoot no matter what you're doing. So even though they weren't working on the high octane PCMs in the Demons, 808 was enough, but you know, it was fun, man. It was a little smaller class, so we could get a couple extra passes in. And, you know, launch control is pretty cool. I didn't spend a lot of time with the trans brake because I didn't want to waste the limited runs that I had, you know, trying to figure everything out. So I just did it in pieces. And the next time I go out, I'll try to master that trans brake. But it's one thing that I can tell you that I've never really experienced firsthand before is a properly prepped track is mm-hmm. unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, from my first run to my last run, though comparatively, you know, the last run compared to the street, there's still no difference. But I mean, there's still a huge difference. But in the beginning, the grip that you got on that properly prepped track, Mass Traction, I think, are the guys that take care of it. And I think they're the guys that are going to be out at Springfest. It was unbelievable. I didn't get out of the throttle at all.
And oh, that's
I stuck
fantastic.
Right to it. It spun a tiny bit, but I mean, it was a hell of an experience.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to get out there this weekend. We'll give you guys the details on that as well. But so kind of break it down for us. Is it a 1 day course? Did you do 2 days out there? And where'd you start off, in the classroom, on the track? Like, kind of walk us through it a little bit. What's the Bondurant drag racing experience like? I've done like the 3 day. A road race school, the driving course and the skid pad and all that, and it's great. I would recommend it for anybody. By anybody who's getting a license, by the way, you've got a 15-16-year-old that's getting a license. Mom, dads, like, go do a Bondurant experience with your kid. Make them better drivers, and what a great thing to do with your kid, right? So,
if nothing else, the skid pad for an hour would work wonders.
Yeah,
it really will.
It's really about knowledge, like knowing what the car is doing and a little bit on how to react. But even if your reaction isn't that good, going and experiencing and knowing what the car is doing puts your mind at ease. You know it's sliding, you know it's getting loose on something, or let's say an ice or snow or water or whatever. Like, it's It's interesting to do. I would recommend it to anybody. But I've never done the drag racing program over there. I think it's pretty new for them now that they got the Dodge partnership. So kind of walk us through it.
Drag racing deal was different. It's not a 3-day. It's a 1-day.
Mm-hmm.
8 o'clock classroom, you know, to 3:30, you're on the track. Orientation in the beginning, like it should be, and they're not taking for granted that these people own these cars. They have to be able to drive them, so it's baby steps in the beginning. Gotten the charger on the skid pad, which I think is almost as fun as going on the drag strip.
Yeah,
but spent some time there, and then spent some time behind the track, kind of off of the road course. In the straightaways, trying to perfect the launch control and we're playing with the trans brake, but launch control and the line lock. Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable technology, and they baby step you through every bit of it. But even that, you still need a lot of time and a lot of practice with it. And in 1 day, it's really hard to get it perfected by any means. I mean, you might get one or two stabs where you've gotten it kind of close and you feel what's going on. Rob, my buddy that lives out in Scottsdale, that's got an unbelievable collection of Mopars out there, he's got even more than me, but he almost lost consciousness on one of the runs, man. It was that much, put it that way, that it was that much fun. So great instruction, on track instruction. Mm-hmm. They're in your ear, literally. They're not in the car with you, but it's the next best thing. So they walk you through every step of it, and it's an exciting experience for the beginner, the novice, or kind of like an expert. So
now the program,
I would recommend it to everybody.
Is the program just racing demons, or do you start in a Charger or a Hellcat or
no? You're just racing demons. They put you in the Charger on the skid pad.
Okay.
And then after that, you're sitting in the demon the whole day.
Now, did you guys drag race the demons, like start training and practicing? Did you do versions without the launch control? Like, how do you just get in the car and run it, sort of no real nannies and stuff involved? Did you guys do that, or was everything with launch control?
No, I mean, you had the ability to kind of do what you want. I mean, they obviously have their reins on you, but you're there to learn the technology that Dodge has put forth, you know, for Bondurant to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a short period of time, you know, you have to, it's nanny proof, you know, yes and no. It is the benefit of technology, but there's still a lot that goes into it. You know, it's a lot of timing. We put it this way. Myself, I didn't work off the tree once, not one time. It was green for a minute and a half, and I'm sitting there, you know, trying to make sure everything's proper to get the right launch.
Right.
I wasn't able to get everything down to the point where even after 8 runs, I was caring about what the tree was telling me.
Right. It's learning the car first, and that's
Absolutely.
Something that we never really got a chance to do. In Detroit at Roadkill Nights, they just lined us up and then we just went. Like the first time I drove a Hellcat wide body was down the drag strip in Detroit. You know, there was no warm up. There was anything.
Truthfully, a lot of guys foot brake it and they don't use the launch because it's fun.
Yeah,
you know, and it's cool to see technology. But you know, if you're sitting there worrying about. And this is the same conversation we had earlier, and I've been to the class and I went through it. If you're sitting there worrying about timing of letting go of this paddle and that paddle and your foot off the brake and press the okay button and let go of the okay button, you know, you're going to lose time. So,
well, you might lose the light, too. So my question is certainly on the street or while you're practicing or on the drag strip without the Christmas tree, you can set up the launch control, and when you're ready to go, you go. But my question is, and I don't know if this is going to be even possible for us, or maybe, you know, the Dodge guys that we're going to see over the weekend probably have figured it out, but let's say you and I roll up in the Challenger 1320s at the light, and we want to use the launch control. That light goes from red to yellow to green. Like, I don't know where we are in the middle of launch control. Like, you know, you only get a couple of seconds to do it.
Well,
and you got to set it up.
Put it
like,
this way.
I don't know if you can time
short,
it.
In the short period of time, I can get you. You need to be in launch control. You need to be in launch control when you're rolling up to that first stage.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that hard. It's not a difficult process. It's just having to use your brain in, you know, with everything else going on.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
You know, it takes a special guy and or girl to be able to do it in that split second. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I are normal people and we're learning it. So there's the less moving parts, the easier, you know, the game. So, like I said, in a short period of time, I can get you to where you'll feel fairly comfortable getting up to that line and you're in launch control and, you know, you're all ready to rock.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
You know, but then there's still a lot of variables. You know, they say, you know, the track and then the RPMs we were setting the launch control at varied. You know, we never were at a set RPM. Right. So dependent upon the track, dependent upon the tire, and we were running on nittos out there, you know, just the drag radio that comes on the car. Now, it was doing great because the track was prepped the way that it was for that tire, you know, but, you know, I'll be running different tires at this place at Fontana. And the track, I think, like I said, is Mass Traction. So, you know, it'll be a comparable track. It might be better, might be worse. You never know. But there's so many factors that go into it. There's never really a perfect way to do it, but you know, you get a sequence down that you're comfortable with. And the reality is that it's a very short span that you're either gaining or missing. And so hopefully you can make it up in another area with your driving ability. So, you know, it's all about what's comfortable for different people.
Yeah. And you know, this doesn't just apply to the Demon. It's any drag racing that you're doing, and certainly all the modern cars with launch control. There's different, the Mustangs and the Shelby GT350 that I drove, you know, between the line lock and the launch control, you can set different RPM and things like that. And then there were fewer options back in the day when I was driving the Nissan GTR using the launch control. And actually, I've got another one coming
different.
Up soon. Yeah,
and
they're
different. I didn't know this, but the SRT stuff, the launch control performs differently from the 16 to the 18. You know?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, then there's that. So I mean, it's all about getting in that specific vehicle and learning its idiosyncrasies and learning its specific technology, and then getting seat time. Period. End of story. But it, after that experience, it I do feel more comfortable. Do I feel quote unquote comfortable? Hell no. But you know, it's always a learning process, and that's what's fun about it.
Yeah. Well, that's an exciting program to do. I'm going to try to get out there at some point and do that. Like I said, I've done the road racing school at Bondurant, and I definitely need to go back and do that again. It's been, I don't know, man, it must have been 8 or 10 years already. And they had the Corvettes and stuff out there. And I think the skid pad was like the first gen Cadillac CTS, I think, that I went out there and did that stuff on. And so it's been a while, but the drag racing program sounds fantastic. And it's going to be interesting. You know, this is all kind of leading up to Springfest. We're going to be out there this weekend. As you guys are listening to this, we're a few days away. We're heading out to Pomona, to the big drag strip, which, first of all, that's exciting within itself. We're on the main drag strip out there where they run NHRA. And this is just all the Dodge fans, and I think, you know, your SRT Jeep fans as well. But the event is pretty much for 2005 and later, you know, Charger, Challengers, Magnums, SRT 8s, Jeeps. And the way the event's going to work is is they've got a huge vendor area, like two football field lengths of vendors, 50 vendors going on over there. And there's racing clinics. And if you have the Dodge cars, you can bring them out and you can run them on the track. There's race clinics to help you out if you want to do it. If you want to take a car out there and you haven't registered already, go to SoCalLX.com. SoCalLX. Register your car. If you're an owner of the Dodge Jeep vehicles, it should be pretty inexpensive. You can
go there. Over 2,000 entries so far, man.
It's good, yeah, and it's going to be way more than that. It's going to be what they're doing is the gates open at 9 to all the Dodge owners. So you can register to bring your car and race it, or you guys can just show up and show the car and enjoy the event or whatever. Gates open at 9 for the Dodge owners, and then it's an exclusive like owners event from 9 to 12. And then at 12 noon, anybody can show up and just walk around and have fun. And those tickets at the gate will be $20. So it's you don't have to have a Dodge to go there, but just know that if you're not an owner, you can just show up.
There's going to be at least 2,000 of them when you get there at noon. Just know that.
Yeah, yeah. The place is going to be kicking. You know, when you're able to walk in at noon, they're going to be running cars. They're going to be making a lot of noise out there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I talked to the Dodge guys, and of course, you're bringing a Demon. You're bringing a Red Eye. You're going to drag race the Demon. We've talked about this already. We talked to the guy, Carlisle, and he got the wheels set up, and you're back at Magnaflow doing stuff on it. But
you know, let's back up for a second. I like how you know you're like Michael Buffer. Okay. Because I don't know what you're trying to make of this, but I mean, for me, as a Dodge owner, as a Demon owner, as a Hellcat owner, as a Red Eye owner, I'm just going out to have some fun, and I've got the opportunity to go to take my Demon to a track that's prepped similar to the one that I just took someone else's yeah. Demon out,
yeah.
and beat the living shit out of it all day
in front of 2,000 people. No pressure.
No, dude. There ain't no pressure here because this ain't no race.
Yeah.
But the problem, my pressure is, well, yeah, there's a lot of people and there's a light there, and now I got to worry about the light.
You got to worry about the light.
All this stuff at the same time. I'm not worried about I don't care if I'm racing you or anybody else. This battle is with myself and my car, and the fact that I know that after. See, my burnout, I don't know what I'm going to do because I had the Magnaflow, Richard and the guys at Magnaflow had to, you know, get with like scrapers and hand scrape all the inner fender well stuff after that Nitto event.
Oh, yeah.
And so
yeah.
When I'm up there and I've got the pressure of performance in front of me and knowing that I got to heat these tires up, but also knowing what I have to do after I get at the end of that drag strip
yeah.
to the inner fender well of my car, it's like, oh, shit. Well, you know, what am I going to do? So I can't wait. It's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. That 1320 thing is going to be really cool. But as far as me drag racing my Demon, man, I'm taking my Demon and I'm running it around down a drag strip. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
and drag race, you know. So
it's going to be fun, and it's going to be you should be have some fun because you get to run your car now. And there's always
That's
a little
exactly
bit of the
what I'm saying.
There's always like a little bit of running somebody else's car. You don't want to quite go 100%, and you know I'm always like a little nervous about driving. You know, we get very lucky here. We get to drive Raptors.
Not at
and things
Bondurant.
Like that.
At yeah. Bondurant, you just beat them to death.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
it was like back in the day when you'd rent a Hertz rent a car, and mm-hmm. it was a you know GT 500 or what the Hertz 350, whatever it was.
Yeah, well, we are going to drive some of Dodge's cars. It's not going to be exclusively you and your car. So I talked to the Dodge guys. You spoke to them as well. They've got the Dodge Challenger 1320. We talked about this car before. It's basically a Demon with the Hellcat engine. It has all of the Demon suspension and brakes and everything, but it's a little bit more affordable and a little less exclusive than the Demon because it doesn't have that engine in it. But this is a new model for them, and this is the first event where they're bringing them out and racing them. And you and I are going to be driving a pair of these things, maybe even going head-to-head against each other. That's just going to be fun to see. It really doesn't matter to me if I ride, if I race against you or anybody else or nobody at all. I just want to drive the thing like you're saying. It's like, I just want to get it pointed down the street.
The pressure, there's the inherent pressure of being a male and having testosterone of being a car guy. But this is going to be a really cool experience, and I don't want to get caught up in trying to go so damn fast that I break any records and not, you know, miss the opportunity of how cool it is to be able to take this 1320 and my car down that drag strip.
Oh, I'm with you completely. I just don't want to embarrass myself. If I can get it down to the end of the strip, and if I ran 15 seconds, that's fine, as long as I don't Richard Rawlings the car.
That's easy. That's easy, dude. Believe me, I got you. That's easy. Yeah. That track will keep you straight down there, man. There was only one guy that kind of got a little out of whack on that track, and mm-hmm. that we had probably there were 10 people in the class. So, you know, that's at least 60, 70 runs.
Yeah, well, that's good. You did what, about eight runs throughout the day at Bonner?
I think six to eight, yeah.
Yeah.
Couple of them were so bad that I just forgot about them. So it could have been. Yeah.
They never happened. It's fine. It's never happened. All right. Let's tell us about Marcus Angel real quick, and then we'll get into maybe getting Marcus on the phone.
You know, yeah. the Bondurant thing was really quick. So I sprung it on Marcus, I think, 3 days before I was going out to Scottsdale. It's like, hey, Marcus, I'm coming in town. Let's check out the lawman. And then, you know, I get a frantic message back. It wasn't frantic, but okay. He says, well, the part of it's in Mesa, the other part's in Scottsdale, and the other part's in some place I've never heard of. And mm-hmm. I said, well, how close what's the closest one to, you know, Chandler, where Bondurant was? And so I met him at the body shop.
Okay.
And great group of guys. I can't remember the name of the shop. I'll have to get it from Marcus, and we'll put it up on the show. But the guys that do the Dodge Power Wagons for Barrett Jackson, they take them every year. They stretch these things out. They make them 100-point restorations and fabricated just absolute awesomeness. These things are like 9,000-pound monsters rolling around that truck.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're cool.
Yeah, so that's where the car was. We got to see it. It was just taped up to get sprayed. The biggest thing that I can take. The biggest thing I can tell you as a takeaway from the visit was that the people that were putting it together that were about to paint,
mm-hmm.
Were telling me that 99.9% of the jobs that they do are 100-point restorations or builds that are to perfection. This is the first time they've ever had to dumb themselves down and duplicate imperfection and how laborious that was. And to see and to listen to some of the measurements that these guys were telling me about, whether it be decals or whether it be stripes or whether it be where the pearl goes, man, these guys have their work cut out for them. And I don't envy them whatsoever, but they are true artists at what they do, and man, they're doing one hell of a job.
That's good.
It's a cool place. You saw that picture I posted,
yeah,
on Instagram, right? I mean, that's their junkyard.
Yeah, I'm happy that you liked what was going on over there, because a lot of times you walk in and there's like, you know, the car's been sitting for a while and it's all dusty and nothing's been happening.
Not. No,
on
the contrary,
get a little frustrated.
Yeah. This is one of those experiences that you are thankful that you had, as opposed to wanting to repress because it was so bad. I mean, no, I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was getting into with Marcus, and I sure as hell wouldn't have, if I had any question about his ability to get this thing done and or hand it off to somebody who's more of an expert than he is, I wouldn't have ever handed it to him.
Yeah, it's. I'm glad the experience is going well. Anybody that's done a project car, as you know, it can get frustrating. Budgets inflate all the time, and lack of communication, and no documentation, and cars sitting around, and projects sitting around. A lot of times, it's on the owner. It's like, you know, this is out of my control, and it's getting to be too expensive.
But, you know,
and then a lot of times,
like
it's the
Adam,
shop.
This is like you and Adam doing his top car, though.
Yeah.
No, you don't cut corners. You go to the best of the best, and you go to that guy because he has a reputation and he has a mode of operandi that, you know, you're only called for certain things, and everything else is like a fine, you know, clock, running clock.
So what's the deadline? Where are we going to present this? Where are you going to bring it?
Specifics, I can't tell you. He's going to have to fill you in on that, but I know the show is in November.
In November. Okay. Why don't we do this? Let's get Mark Warman on the phone, and we'll check in with him. I know you've got a project with him, and I saw him this weekend. So as you're doing that, Chris is going to ring him up. I'll tell you guys about Wrangler, of course. Everybody has a favorite pair of jeans, the pair that fits perfectly and always looks great, the pair that you wear out at night, at home on the couch, at work, wherever. They're your go-to, so do not underestimate their importance. That's what you love about them. No one knows this better than Wrangler. They're the authority on jeans, using their expertise in comfort and durability. Wrangler jeans are made for the adventurers, the go-getters, folks who like to keep moving. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, or if you're the type who walks the earth in search of something, these are the jeans for you. They have classic and modern styles, a range of fits, and a price that works for you as well. The vintage re-releases are some of my favorites, of course. And then Wrangler has something pretty much for everyone. So if you visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and women, they have new styles, great fits. Wrangler is real comfortable jeans. Check out Wrangler.com. All right.
So hey, Chris.
Chris is in the other room trying to get Warman on the phone.
Okay, well, we need Chris simultaneously to look up the odds maker in Vegas to see what the odds currently are on Mark Warman wearing Wranglers.
Yeah, right. I saw a Warman.
I'm just saying. What do you think?
Yeah.
But what's your opinion?
I think it's a low chance, very low chance of wearing red. He should. Come on.
I'm going 50-50 on it.
All right. Let's ask him. Let's find out if he's wearing Wranglers or not. See if he's wearing.
We got to ask Chris what his opinion is first.
All right.
This is a game. We have to start. It's more of an. We're throwing back to Wrangler. We're talking more about it.
We're going to do it for every guest that we come in.
Absolutely.
Man, speaking of guests, we got
to
reach out.
I know
out.
The answer to Alistair's.
Alistair's 6'4 and like 105 pounds. So
I've never seen a British dude wearing Wranglers.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't even know if he knows what they are. By the way, have you guys been following our buddy Stone Cold Steve Austin? He's getting the car bug, man. He bought himself a C7 Corvette, his white Corvette, which is nice. And now he's got his Camaro, his 70, maybe 70 something, 72, 74 Camaro. And I think he's got that truck, right? He's got the Chevy truck.
Yep.
60s. So Chevy truck. So
yeah,
got to reach out from him. He's hard to get a hold of because he's usually, I don't know, out in a forest or a jungle or a desert somewhere riding his Kawasaki ATVs and whatnot. So I don't know what he's always out. In the dirt somewhere, wearing camouflage shorts. All right. Well, while he's checking that again, we'll just move right along, and I'll tell you guys about Geico as well. You've heard us do this before. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off the dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. Somebody just tweeted. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but it's very funny. He tweeted me, and he's like, I went and got Geico insurance. Before I picked up the milk, before I went to get the dry cleaning, I went and got... Went got some Geico car insurance. Well done. Thank you for that.
So, hey, I'm reading. It's a good segue to Warman. as we were talking about the 1320, the 1320's got the 392 Hemi in it.
It does.
And the 392 Hemi is the engine that Warman's putting in my 99 rod Dodge Ram. It's been there for 2 years or a year or something.
All right. Well, let's get him on the phone right now. Here we go.
Here.
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, did I just hear some sarcasm from Bill?
What a segue. What a segue.
I'm
pretty sure
about?
I heard I something joking. That would be disparaging. Now, I don't want to have to come down there and knock a lung loose, but, you know, I've been working out pretty
asparagus?
Hard for the last couple of
Man.
Years.
Asparagus makes your pee smell. You know that, right?
I tell you.
Hi, guys.
I ran into Mark this weekend, the Classic
Auto
Show.
Welcome to CarCast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, since Saturday when I saw him at the Classic Auto Show, he's been talking shit the whole time, man. Warman.
I did, too.
Yeah, man. It was good to see you this weekend. I hope you had fun down in Orange County. It was good to catch up. And listen, I know you're a
Wonderful.
Mopar guy. I want to talk about the projects, but tell me, how amazing was Andy Leach's Impala? That was right there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just.
Yeah, that guy's crazy, man.
And he won
really
the Riddler Award, too.
I'd never met him before, either.
He's such a nice guy. He's very quiet until you start talking about the car. And then he had two cars there. He had a hot rod there, which won the Riddler Award. That's the Oscars of hot rods, you know. The Riddler
Is
Award.
Is that the one Wayne Carini bought?
Yes, and I don't know if we were allowed to say that, but now that's the word out.
Oh,
Riddler hot rod that he bought. I think Wayne Carini bought it from him, maybe like on site while he was there. So.
I think he did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he bought that car. By the way, I don't know what he paid, but that's a good car to buy. That thing was so amazing. Andy Leach he's been on my other show, Shift and Steer, a few times, and we've talked to him in over the years. And he's just been doing such good work, man. He's still a young guy. I forgot where he's based, but you know, he's got a young baby at home and a beautiful wife that, and this is their life. They're just building the amazing hot rods and muscle cars.
It's so cool because we were there in the green room when I met you there, you know, and he was down having lunch and I asked if I could sit there. I didn't know who he was, so embarrassingly, I had to ask. He goes, "Oh, dude, don't worry about it, man." And so then I got to find an announcement and that's pretty amazing. But he said, "I wish I would have had your number." He says, We were working on CUDA. We still are, but we have a 70 CUDA we're doing some stuff to, and we had a problem with the quarter glass, sash channel for the quarter glass. And so I told him what I thought the problem was, and we exchanged numbers. So, yeah, now I'm kind of connected. Bill probably doesn't have his phone number, is my guess.
Is that right, Bill? I don't even know who he is. But that's
okay. It's okay, man.
Nobody invites me to the Classic Auto Shows because I'm not Mark.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I was hoping you were coming. I was really looking everywhere for you, but it's cool.
He was at Bondurant School racing.
It was a triple header or a double header baseball game. That's usually what happens on a Saturday or a Sunday around the Goldberg House.
Gotcha. I wasn't far from you, though, Bill. I drove down. It took me almost 15 hours with the L.A. traffic. I hit the beginning of Los Angeles on I-5 at 5 o'clock, and it took 2.5 hours to get through L.A.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anything so preposterous in all my life. It's ridiculous. Who are these people, and where are they going?
You. It's not like that beautiful drive to come down and see your shop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, this is, my cousin and I were complaining a few weeks ago about the traffic here. Absolutely glad to be home. I love the traffic.
You'll never
this
do it
the
again.
Best traffic ever. I won't. I'll have to get over my fear of flying.
Oh, yeah.
B.A. Baraka.
So, Mr. Matt and I are, quote unquote, driving these 1320s down the drag strip. What do you know about these cars? Anything?
The new
1320s.
The new Dodge Challenger 1320.
The new Dodge Challenger 1320.
Are you familiar with those?
Oh, God. Who's got the egg on their face now? I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's all right.
But the cool thing is that it's Matt knows more about it than you and I do, and we're the Mopar guys.
I know. I didn't even know it existed.
The same motor.
What is this, Matt? What is this crazy thing?
Well, hold on. It's got the same motor as the you just put in the truck. So that was the kind of the segue. So now he can tell you a little bit about what it is.
Yeah, so we want to catch up on the project you're doing there, but the 1320 is the 392 engine in a Challenger, but with all of the Demon racing suspension, all the drag racing suspension, and the brakes and all that stuff. So it has all the Demon running gear, but with the without the Demon engine. So it sort of slots in between, you know, the Hellcats and the Demon, but you know, whereas the Red Eye focuses on the road racing and corner carving, this one is another drag racing car. But that engine allows you to do whatever mods you want and kind of do it your own way instead of the Demon's pretty much done.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's called the Dodge Challenger 1320, and at the Springfest this weekend, Bill and I are going to be heading out there, and Dodge is bringing a few of these out there for us to race, and it's the first time they're bringing out there to race. So we're going to go drag race up in Pomona, a couple of these things. We're going to race, hopefully race against each other, but it's just going to be fun to go out there and get behind the wheel of some of these things, And Bill has prepped his Demon to do a few passes in that as well. So it's going to be an exciting weekend for us. We're going to have a great time.
I wish it was like this last weekend. I'd sneak over there. I'd get out early and go over.
Or you could fly.
I don't get on no plane, Hannibal.
Yeah, he doesn't do it. But what's going on in your shop?
Hey, Matt, I got a question then on that 1320. So it's got all the performance stuff except for the drivetrain, obviously, or portions of the drivetrain. Is it also geared towards that lighter weight like they did the Demon? So the less insulation and they don't have the jute padding in them and all the things they did to lighten the car. Is that also the thing going on with that car?
That's a good question, and I'm not sure yet. I think they just had it at the auto show, or I don't even know if they had it. Maybe that they had it at LA Auto Show. We didn't get into the details of it, but when we get out there this weekend, all of the Dodge brass is going to be out there, and we're going to be able to come back.
Infused with the exclusive drag strip technology from the iconic Challenger Demon, the Challenger Scat Pack 1320 is a blank canvas, the serious grassroots drag racer with standard features including adaptive dampening suspension, drag mode, line lock, trans brake, torque reserve, and extremely duty 41.5 spline shafts. Standard interior, driver's seat only. To help reduce weight, front passenger seat and rear are available individuals for $1. So it's like the Demon. You can order like the Demon.
Yeah, that's how they explain it to me. So that makes the most sense.
And they call it a
really
1320
cool.
Because the quarter mile is 1,320
feet. 1,320
long. Feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is so cool. Oh, that does it have the wide body kit on it, or is offered with wide body kit probably?
It does not. It's only got 275s on it. So that's going to be a different experience, but it's got less horsepower, so it'll be fun taking down that drag strip.
Well, you know, guys, I put the 392, that first crate engine and controller that Mopar came out with in 16, we put that in our 71 Plymouth Cuda Tribute car. And we didn't modify the body other than you have to make a little bit of a shave on the where the wheelhouse, where the firewall meets the floor pan, so you can allow for the 6-speed trimming. Mm-hmm. That's really all we did. We didn't go out of our way to lighten it. We didn't do anything. We built a stock car with a 392 6-speed Tremec and a 410 Dana. I ran it across the scales. There's truck scales about 10 minutes from the shop here, and that thing weighed 3,550 pounds with the 392 in it. My car's 4,400 pounds. My car's a 2016 Challenger Shaker Scat Pack 392 6-speed.
Wow.
And that 1,000 pounds shows up in that Cuda like in nobody's business. Now, of course, it doesn't have all traction control. But my gosh, if this car is anywhere near, if they can get that car down in the 35, 36, 3700 with that 392, I would think that thing would really be a turn and burn machine.
I think that might be almost impossible to get it down to that.
I would think it would with today's safety stuff. I think it would be really hard to get it that light, too.
Yeah. I don't know exactly. I mean, obviously, we don't know a lot about the car, but we're going to find out this weekend. And
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
You better send me a video, Bill.
It's going to be a great event, and it's going to be great. So what else are you working on over in your shop? You're working on Bill's truck, and you got a few other things going on as well, right?
So we got Bill's clapside truck we're trying to put together.
Clapside? What does that mean? Clapside?
It's a compliment, I guess. anyway, let's talk about the other cars. So,
sure.
How many How many guys Armacote the entire truck? How many guys?
It's a work truck, for God's sake.
It's a work truck.
What do you think?
There's a lot of work trucks out there that aren't.
I don't care.
And you know, speaking of that, there was a pair of Wrangler jeans in the back of that truck.
I don't build things for a second. I build things for function over form.
I love it.
So that thing,
right now,
the beater, man. So, you know, it is what it is. It just needs some fire.
Yeah, you know, I love you, man. You do a good job.
I know.
Right now, we've got 30 cars in process. The ones that are probably most notable to talk about that are actually in the shop right now is we have a 71 CUDA factory 340 three-speed manual transmission. Most of the guys would upgrade, but that is how you got it if you didn't have any bucks and you wanted a hardtop or a convertible. You have the 340 and the three-speed. And ultimately, because more people chose the four-speed or the automatic, there were only 8 of those cars built.
Hmm.
So this is in violet with a white top and white interior, which is really cool.
Now, what's that car going to be worth when it's done? When that's, I mean, you're talking about very limited here. Where are we in the muscle?
You are talking very. This is interesting, Matt, because this is the hardest lesson to learn, especially in the Mopar world. Just because it's rare, just because it's cool, does not necessarily equate to the cash register. So that car probably is. It might be a six-figure car. It might tip $100,000.
Okay.
Because one, it's pretty and it's nice and it's numbers. But really, if you had the same exact car and it was a four speed, it probably would do more. Even though I don't know that number off the top of my head, but I would venture to guess 340 four speeds, they might have made 600 or 800, maybe something like that of those. Just a guess.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, rare and unique and cool does not always equate to the cash register at the end of the day, and that's a good
like
example.
I've got a Judge that's a three-speed manual, and I don't think it's worth any more than the four-speed by any stretch.
And maybe not as much, even though it's really cool, and I love that it's got a three-speed. Now, listen, if you've ever actually raced somebody with a three-speed manual transmission, there's some advantages to it. Doug and I were just talking about this the other day, that there was this local knucklehead, Ed Crandall, that had a 65 Mustang with a 260 they built the hell out of, and it had a three-speed. And Doug said he lost to him every time because first to second, he had to get into second right away. That first to second in the three-speed is a long leg. And so if you have the right combination, that can be a moving machine.
Hmm. Yeah.
Less shifting, right? So you'd have to have it all lined up, but this kid did, and so it might be funny to look in there and see that little chrome stick with the ball on it, but at the same time, it worked. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. So, anyway, yeah, as far as other cars, we got the 69 Charger Daytona we're working on this season. That numbers matching Hemi orange car, black interior. The guy bought it new, still has it. We just finished doing the paint work on it and getting ready to do final assembly. We have AAR CUDA that's in there right now. It's just a basket
color
case, missing most everything. Terrible, terrible shape car.
What color?
Going through the room. That car is the EF8 Ivy Green with black interior, black strobe stripes, no vinyl top, automatic.
That's my car, man. That's my car.
Oh,
that's
you like that?
List,
oh,
Mark.
The EF8 Green's pretty. When it's done right, it's beautiful. We'll have to build you one. What we ought to do is build you one of those and then throw that elephant in it.
Yeah, maybe finish
now,
the
now
truck
we'd be
first.
Talking.
No doubt. Yeah.
and
like,
let me
like
just
we don't have any okay. Like we don't have enough things going. We gotta. Oh God, yeah. There's another car on the list too that's even at your place that we haven't ever spoken about. So yeah, that's.
Oh, nice. I sold that. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
that one's gone. Yeah, we turned that one.
Got pretty good money considering the old driver take that one.
The what? Yeah, the old truck. Yeah, I had to sell it cheap because I didn't have a title to it. But yeah, it turned into cash for me. That's the important thing. Yeah, Bill's got his beautiful triple black 446 barrel 4-speed super track pack CUDA there that we've been kind of hauling around for a year, I think. It is on the list, and it's moved around to the disassembly line. Still probably a couple of months before it gets disassembled, but
so be
it's
it,
a nice
man.
Car.
Yeah, so
it'll
be
go
it.
Really exactly. Well because it's a good car.
And the tell them about the coolest thing for me is the fact that a guy that is not the most, a guy named Galen Govier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. he everything out of his mouth I may not like, but he told me one thing about that car that was the best thing I've ever heard, that it was a stripe delete car. So we can take that ugly orange hockey stripe off of there, and now I can have a triple black frickin' six-pack 70 Cuda, which to me is a hell of a lot cooler.
So just to make clear, because I know any of my Mopar lunatics out there that are listening and are going to say, why didn't you correct Bill? Well, because I like my teeth in my head, for one. And I like where my nose is. It's not the cutest nose, but it works for me. You're right about one thing.
You're correcting me now.
That your car is not coded for the stripe. V6X, it is not coded for it. The only color you could get in 1970 was a black hockey stick stripe. Your car is not coded for it. However, it wasn't standard equipment, so the fact that it's not... So the fact that it's not on the fender tag doesn't mean it's stripe delete. It just means it wasn't ordered with the decal. Thought I better clear that up for that. That's what I have to do all the time, guys. They'll get on TV and they'll watch it, and then they'll just go on social media and crucify me over the most minute details that I already know the answer to. I just didn't have time in a 60-second narrative to cover everything. But
right.
But in real time, now people know why you're the only person that's ever touched any of my Mopar.
Yeah, and that means a lot, and I use it all the time to get jobs. Sorry.
I bet those one or two have really helped you out. But
yeah.
Hey, man.
Whatever.
I would have no other person touch any of those cars.
Oh, thank you so much. It means a lot, and I know. And everybody knows Bill. He wouldn't say it if he didn't mean it. He's very,
no question.
Very transparent.
You saved the three hairs left on my face that I was pulling out as I was trying to match up bolts on my 68 convertible.
Oh yeah.
I remember that. How's that car doing, buddy?
That car is wonderful. I finally got around to putting new tires on it after I looked at the date on the ones, and they were 9 years old. And then I looked at the ones on my hardtop, and they were 19 years old.
Wow.
So, ladies and gentlemen, go out there and make sure that every tire in your garage on every single freaking car is what? What's the limit on it? Like 8 years now?
I don't even know for sure.
That's something really important, because I got that car back from you. And I told you the story, that right rear.
Yeah, you had a flat.
Yeah, the first time I drove it, I didn't have a flat. I had an explosion. Thank God it didn't tear up the inner fender wheel. It didn't do anything to it. But, you know, and that's when went out and I looked at all my cars and I said, hey, man, you need to be a little proactive here. So,
and really, I should have been your eyes on that one. So I'll own some of that. I should have called you up. You're not a cheapskate. I could have called you up. They looked really good. That was the whole thing.
Exactly.
They looked great.
They
looked
brand new.
I didn't see anything. Yeah, they look new, right? So I didn't even think to check
the
nipples
on them. For God's sake, they.
Yeah. No. Can you say nipples on the radio?
Yeah,
I just did.
Yeah, it happened. That happened. Tires. Okay. We can't stress that enough. By the way, my M3 that I bought from Adam was sitting around with 15-year-old tires, and it's like riding on blocks of wood. Like, you couldn't get any traction. It was so dangerous to drive. That's basically how Paul Walker died as well, is they took that Carrera GT out on those hard tires, and that car was all over the place. Like, and I switched to the Michelins, the PS4, I think it is, or P4S, I don't even know, and night and day difference. Night and day difference. Now, I can't get my foot out of the car, because now before I could barely drive it, because it was like driving on glass. But I'm telling you, just from a safety standpoint, I can't even tell you how important tires are.
I'm sorry, I'm probably over my time. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're going to have to wrap up. We're kind of running out of time here, but I do want to check on what's the update on the show. What's going on with Graveyard Cars?
Oh, okay. So last Tuesday night, a week ago today, was our season finale. It was season 10, and it did really, really well. It looks like, for whatever crazy reason, we're just blessed, and it seems to be do a little better each year. So we get a lot of really good positive feedback now on it. So season 11 premieres tonight. This is the first time we've had two seasons there back to back, and so we've already got 5 episodes in the can and back to the network, and they'll start airing them tonight. So tonight is season 11 premiere on Motor Trend. and that'll run for 13 weeks, and then we'll probably be off until October while we're making season 12, hopefully, and beyond.
Right on. Well, as you're listening to this, you missed the episode, because this will air the day
after. I missed what?
If this is going to air, this isn't going to be live, so this will air the next day. So go to Motor Trend okay. and check it out. Look up Graveyard Cars. You go to GraveyardCars.com, C-A-R-Z. Is that right? Graveyard Cars with a Z?
Yes, sir. It sure is.
Go there for the website. You can find Mark on Twitter as well. It's GYC underscore Mark, as in Graveyard Cars underscore Mark on Twitter. And go ahead and say hello. Tell him he's doing good work, or razz him a little. Tell him to wear some Wrangler jeans.
Yeah, I need it. That's a good thing.
Some Wranglers.
tell him to wear some Wrangler jeans.
Stop with the Wrangler.
you guys can check us out, of course, at carcastshow.com. You can follow me at Moderator and Goldberg. You know, definitely check him out. He's Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter, and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. You'll see what's going on with the cars over at Magnaflow. He just posted Bonnard School stuff, Marcus Angel, and the shop that's working on the cars. And we're headed out to Springfest this weekend. So as you're listening to this, if you're a Mopar guy and you got one of the late model cars, register now at SoCalLX.com. Bring your car out there. They're doing more of an owner's thing going on from 9 a.m. to noon. But at noon, gates are open. Everybody, you can just show up. I think it's like $20. There's going to be well over 2,000 people there. The entire Muscleville from the commercials that Goldberg's been doing with Dodge, they're recreating Muscleville there. We're going to load in a bunch of cars. And last I heard, they were working on the park bench, from the commercial. They're trying to find that.
Well, I got to have someplace to sit. Right?
I talked to the guys yesterday, and I'm like, what's going on? They're like, we're trying to get the park bench. And I was like, all right,
seems
less important, but let's go ahead and do that. So it's a whole recreation of that. Like you said, Bill said, he's going to bring his red eye out there. He's going to be drag racing his demon. We're going to be going heads up in a pair of Challenger 1320s. It's going to be a fun weekend, and we're really looking forward to it. So guys, come out to that. If you get a chance, come out and say hi. We're going to be there pretty much all day, at least from the morning until afternoonish. And I think if you guys are bringing cars out to run, you can, I think they got permission from the track to start running them almost into the nighttime, maybe even later, maybe well into the night. So come out and check that out. We're going to be there. We're going to be there on Saturday. Saturday only, to be clear. There's a lot going on this weekend. Saturday only for us. But guys, thank you. Thank you so much. Am I missing anything? We got everything covered, Bill, Mark?
Yeah. The only thing I want to say was I was surprised when I met Adam Carolla. He walked up to me and told me he was a huge fan of the show, and actually said he rattled a couple things off that happened in the show that I know he was telling the truth. So I thought that was pretty cool.
He wouldn't lie about it. He's like us. He's a student of this, and he always has nice things to say about you, by the way. And the only thing he'll say would be like, he's just a Mopar guy, and I kind of like guys with a little more diversity, but he's just busting chops with that. But, yeah, we were.
Just for the record, he doesn't wear Wranglers either.
Yeah, I don't think he does. Well, he has his one dress pair. He has his one dress pair of Wranglers that he wears, like with a sport coat when we're going to the Quail or something like that. That's really about it, guys. If you get a chance, swing on over to iTunes and give us a nice little rating. Tell us that you like the show. If you don't like the show, you don't have to go to iTunes. That's the way it works. You don't even have to give a rating at all.
And just don't go right. I'm ragging on everybody about Wranglers because I have a pair.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah. See, I got them as well. And we appreciate Wrangler and Geico for helping us out over here. All right, guys, that's pretty much it. And by the way, you want a little more fun? We got more CarCast coming for you. Adam and I are doing a show, of course, this week. So check those out. And check out Shift and Steer. That's my podcast that I do with Brad Fanshaw and Aaron Hagar. And give it a listen. Brad has been in the hot rod industry longer than the earth has been in existence. That's how long he's been doing this. Guys, thank you so much. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Later.
Hey, thanks for having me on, you guys. Appreciate it a lot.
Thanks, Mark.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.